guys today. Excited to be preaching the word as always. Hannah wishes she could be here too. She had National Guard this weekend. Definitely miss my wife. So I might need a little bit of extra encouragement today for you guys. All right? You guys can just be one big Hannah, you know, the body of Christ. I'm just kidding. But really excited about this passage today. As Rob mentioned earlier, we're going to be continuing with our series entitled Sent, right? We've been sent out on a mission from God to spread the gospel. And today we're going to be in Acts chapter 3.
Okay.
So you guys can be turning your Bibles over there.
Let's go, Mark.
And I'm very excited to study out this passage. There's so much that we can take from this passage. It's so rich. We don't have enough time today, but I'm going to try to do my best. You know, I've read this passage many times in my life, but recently there's a lot of things that I feel like the Spirit just helped me see that I wasn't seeing before. There's things that stuck out to me that I feel like are really relevant for us as Christians in New York City. And so this passage, it comes right after the description of the first century church, right, in Acts chapter 2, which Rob preached about. Rob and Chelsea did a great message called Rooted Together at the Retreat. And so now we're seeing this church in action, right? They're devoted to each other. They're devoted to God, and they're changing the world. And just like in Acts chapter 2, towards the end of that passage, it says they were filled with awe, right? Well, in this passage, we're going to see people filled with awe at this miracle that's going to take place. We're going to see this happen. So let's read here. Just jump right into it, starting in Acts chapter 3, verse 1.
All right, come on, Mark.
It says, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried into the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us!" So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Wow, what an incredible passage, right? What an incredible moment, a life-changing moment that this lame beggar has. Right, so think about this guy's life. He has been positioned every day outside of the temple and watching the people of God as they walk into the temple. He is the outsider, right? He is just begging for money. We don't even know his name, but he's identified here as this lame beggar, right? And he hasn't been able to just experience life like any other human being. He hasn't been able to walk. So just imagine this marginalized man, but he's so close to the presence of God, right? Because for Judaism, in the temple was where you went to be with God. But he's so close. He's right at the gate to the temple. Mm. There's so much irony to this story that God is so close, but yet he is so put to the outside and not paid attention to by people, and specifically by the people walking in to pray, to be with God, right? So this beggar, he's basically just at a point in life where he's like, I'm just lucky if I'll get any money as these people walk into the temple, right? I'll just be lucky if some people, maybe three a day, pay attention to me. But what do Peter and John do, right? These disciples of Jesus. Notice what it says in verse 4. It says, Peter looked straight at him. Right, so he takes this moment and they don't pass him by like everyone else, but they take this moment, they look at him in the eyes. And it had to have kind of startled him, like, whoa, what's going on? Are they going to like mug me or something? Or what's happening here, right? And he has to get his attention. He's like, hey, look at us. Look us in the eyes. And so the beggar gives him his attention. He's just asking for money like he usually does. But what Peter and John are about to give him is something way better than money, right? Something way better than what he's usually asking for. And so in verse 6, like we read, it says, silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. He says, what I do have, I give you. And what did he have? Jesus. Right? And that's the title of my sermon today, is what I do have, I give you. Right? That's what we have to be able to say to anyone we meet. What I do have, being God, I want to give you. I don't want to keep him to myself. I want to pay him forward to you. And so today I want to talk about two things. Is that cool with you guys?
Yeah.
I want to talk about healing, and I want to talk about repentance.
Okay.
And I don't want to talk about that because I do, but the Bible's already talked about it in this chapter, so we have to, right? So point number one, what I do have, I give you, healing. God wants to give us healing. Jesus wants to give us healing. Like I said, Peter and John give this man something way better than any amount of money that people could have offered him that day. And in this moment, I love it because it's like, all right, Peter's like, I don't have silver or gold, right? I don't have maybe what you want, but I have something better. And they give him this incredible miracle of a healing. But notice in verse 8, this is more so what I want to focus on here. Like I said earlier, again, this guy, this beggar, was outside of the temple of God. Guys, he's never gone into the temple. He's never experienced this. He's only seen people walk in. But what happens in verse 8? It says, then he went with them into the temple courts, walking, jumping, and praising God. He finally walked past the threshold of the gate. I mean, imagine that moment for this beggar. Finally feeling like, I'm accepted. I'm not an outcast anymore. I get to go in where the other people in my community are always at. And he got to be in the temple. And I love how it says walking and jumping. Man, if you're jumping about something, you got to be pretty excited. Am I right?
Yeah.
Like, when we're jumping, it takes me a lot to jump and get excited about something. If I'm watching, like, a playoff NFL game, and for some reason one of my teams is actually doing well, I might be jumping a little bit, right, if they're about to score. You know, we jump when we praise God. We jump when we sing to him. But, like, that says something, that this man goes from being down and out, destitute, discouraged, hopeless, to the next moment jumping and praising God in the temple. This joyous moment. Imagine what that must have felt like for him, being so close to the presence of God for so long, and now he's in the temple, experiencing God and being with the Jewish people. You know, I think a lot of New Yorkers can relate to this lame beggar. And I want to talk about this a little bit. I think a lot of New Yorkers can feel like they don't belong in church. Like they don't belong where the people of God are. Right? They can feel like outsiders. They have no problem with Christians doing their thing and walking into church on Sunday. But they can feel like that's not for me. And hey, walk in, that's great for you, but it's not for me. And they feel like an outsider, or like, you know what, I don't belong there. But maybe they do want to belong. Maybe they do want to know God. But either they've had a bad church experience, or they, honestly, most of the city is unchurched. They've never had a church experience. They've never had someone look them in the eyes, just like Peter and John, and give them an invitation to know Jesus. Right? They've never had that. You know, a lot of people in New York City, especially young people, guys, feel like church and Jesus and Christianity is just not for them. It's just not. I mean, even as we've been sharing during the past kickoff weeks, the amount of times in the day where all I say is God or Jesus or Bible, that quick reaction of, sorry, I'm not religious.
Right.
Sorry, that's not for me. And I'm like, this isn't for the religious. This is for sinners, right? This is for human beings. I don't care. I'm not super religious. Maybe I am to you, but I don't feel like I'm this crazy religious freak talking to you right now, right?
Yeah.
But they can feel that way.
Yeah.
And they can feel like, you know what? I get it, man. That's great. I hope you find someone that's interested. But that's just not me.
Come on,
so there's a lot of people in our city like this lame beggar, the unchurched, the people that feel like that's not where I belong. But God says, this is where you belong.
Yep.
I want you to know me. I want you to have my Holy Spirit in you. The Barna Group did a study that I thought was relevant to this, and to me was interesting. I'll just read it here. It says, among the general U.S. population, 29% are considered de-churched meaning, you know, leaving church, and 9% are never churched, for a combined total of 38% unchurched. Currently, about 4 in 10 U.S. adults qualify as unchurched. Under Barna's definition, 38%. Unchurched adults have not attended a church service except for a holiday or a special occasion at any time within the past 6 months. But check this out, right? So then there's this top 5 list of the unchurched cities. Look at where New York is sitting at here, right? Again, this is never church. This is never has really experienced God, right? We got West Palm Beach, Santa Barbara, New York, Brownsville, McAllen, Texas, Chicago, Redding, California. I mean, this is our city. 15% that when they hear God, they're just like, don't know what you're talking about. Don't know who that is. Guys, we get to change this narrative.
Right.
We get to be a part of helping people see Jesus is for sinners.
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus said it himself, I've come to call sinners to repentance, right? The righteous, hey, that's great.
Yeah.
But I'm saying I want sick people. I want people who want healing, right? That was Jesus' heart. And for us, as the body of Christ, we have to help people see that church isn't for people who have it all together.
Yeah.
Church isn't for people who already feel perfect and close to God. But that church is for everyone, for people who need healing, for people who need purpose, right? Church is not just a meeting place for the religious. Church is a place for all people to get to know God.
Yes.
And to work through their sin, to work through the junk in their life, and to have people that will love them, that will be in their life so that they can find healing. Just like this lame beggar. Amen?
Amen?
That is what God wants. A lot of people come to New York City wanting money, right? Success, fame, or career. And I think we can relate to Peter and John, especially if you're a college student. You go up to your friends, you're like, I don't got money, right? Silver or gold I do not have, right? For you, my friend. I can't pay for your lunch. I can't pay for your parking. But what I do have, I give you, and his name is Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen? That's got to be our attitude, right? We don't have quick fixes. We don't have all the career answers people want. But we have to say that what I do have, classmate, friend, so-and-so, is Jesus.
Yeah.
I have a relationship with God. And I'd love for you to hear about how you can have a relationship with God. Because guess what? I'm not a lot better than you.
Yeah.
I've just had people teach me about Jesus.
Right.
Amen?
Come on.
Guys, as Christians, we offer people so much more than just material things or something that will just give them a quick comfort for the pain they're experiencing in their life. We offer them Jesus, and through Jesus comes healing, comes this incredible opportunity to actually find healing and change in your life. Let's keep reading here in Acts chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 11. It says, while the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colony. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" Right? They're pointing them to Jesus. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had not had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life." Man, let that sink in. "But God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man, whom you see and know, was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you all can see." Verse 17. "Now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. Heaven must receive him until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets. For Moses said, 'The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people, and you must listen to everything he tells you. Anyone who does not listen to him will be completely cut off from their people.'" We'll stop there. Get some water here.
Come on, Mark. Come on, Mark.
Doing great.
Thank you, Hannah. All right. So, I love this moment here where he says, "Are you surprised?" And Peter's like, "Does this surprise you?"
Yeah.
Peter's like, "Do you not know the power of Jesus? Like, you really think I did that?" He's like, "We didn't do that. We're just sinners." But he points them to Jesus. He's saying that healing came from Jesus, right? That miracle that you're all freaking out about came from the very man that you killed.
Yeah.
And he preaches it them, right? That's why I need some water. I'm like, how do you not preach that passage? What is he saying to them? He's saying, "You killed the author of life. You disown the holy and righteous one and ask that a murderer be released to you." I mean, they're having metanoia in this moment. He's connecting the dots, right? We see this all over the book of Acts. They keep going back to the cross. They keep preaching the cross. They keep preaching about how all of this comes from Jesus. And so for us, in the same way, we don't need to put this pressure on ourselves. The power is in Jesus for healing. But we have to go to him. We have to go to the healer. Check out verse 16. I love how it says, "It is in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him," as you all can see. Notice that word "completely," right? Do you want to just be partially healed or partially have a close walk with God? Or do you want to find complete healing? Complete healing, right?
Yeah.
You want God to totally envelop your life, right? You want God to heal every area of your life. You know, we don't know the rest of this guy's story, this lame beggar, but we do know that his life was just changed forever. And hopefully he went on to decide to become a disciple of Jesus and get to know the very man through his power that healed him, right? That's what I would hope. But I think what we can take from this is that only in Jesus can us as sinners find complete healing,
yeah.
Right? Spiritual healing, emotional healing, healing from our past sin, relational healing from past relationships that really hurt us, right? Getting strength from God to forgive, Right? Only through God and the teachings of Jesus can we find complete healing. Something that the world cannot give. Right? We got a lot of quick fixes in this city. Right? I feel like almost every other corner is a weed world at this point. Right? It's just like, where do I live? Like, come on, this is crazy, right? And people are like, oh, it's been a rough day. I'm just gonna go to weed world. I just need a quick fix. Right? That is the city we live in. I just want some healing. I know I'll feel terrible in the morning because the very things that are causing me suffering will still be there. But people go to quick fixes. To partial healing. You know, maybe they'll pray a little bit, but they've never really known God. Maybe they're trying, but they don't read the Bible. Maybe they'll listen to a 1 minute reel on Instagram, a little sermonette. But it's just a little moment, right? It's not complete healing. Right? What area of your life do you need healing? Where do you need healing? You know, is it healing from past hurts, some form of trauma that you've experienced? Whether from people outside of the church or in the church. Maybe it's healing from anxiety or worry. You feel burdened. Maybe as you started this semester, you just feel like, I just feel heavy. Yeah. I don't want to feel this way. I want Jesus to lighten my load. You know, maybe it's healing from addictions. Addictions to pornography, addictions to lust, addictions to a drug. Where do you need healing? But also, where are you going for healing?
Yeah.
Are you going to Jesus? I want to share a story about a friend of mine who found complete healing. And I want to share this story because I feel like it's going to give a real life example to how we as Christians get to say, hey, what I do have, I give you, and it's a new life.
Yeah.
Right, it's not just a place to go on Sundays, it's a new life. I met Ridley a little over 3.5 years ago. Ridley in New Jersey is when I was doing ministry at Montclair State. And I met him at a cafe after a day of having about 30 people say no to my face. And Ridley was the last guy in the corner of this cafe. And all I said was, hey, you know, Bible discussion, Jesus, and his face just lit up. He was like, yes, I want that. And so we started to study the Bible with Ridley. And as we got to know him and got to know his life, he had a lot of things going on in his life. He had a lot of pain. He had a lot of areas he needed healing in, right? And to be honest, a lot of it was just above my pay grade. I wanted to be his friend. I wanted to be there. And really, he loves sharing his story. He is like a CR advocate. I mean, he wants people to come to Chemical Recovery Ministry. And so he just started to say, I just want help. It seems like you guys have given people help. I just want to get better, right? And so the campus guys as well as the guys in CR kind of teamed up and said, let's just study with him. Let's help him, right? But let's give him the real healing he needs physically as well. And so it was just incredible, guys, just to see Ridley, one, just see the scriptures change his life. To see him feel like, oh my gosh, like even though I've done wrong, even though I've done bad, God still loves me. God wants me to follow him. And God can change my heart. And so that was kind of the first thing to see, is just seeing his heart soften. You know, seeing the cross change his life. But then he decided to check himself into rehab. He's like, I got to get clean. I need to do this, but this time I want to do it for God. Not just because of my family, not just because I know people are telling me. And Ridley, for me, was just an example of meeting a total stranger and seeing their whole life change. Seeing Ridley find not just partial healing, but complete healing.
Yeah.
You know, he found healing from his addiction to drugs, and some pretty serious drugs. He found healing in some really tough relationships in his family that he had to move out. And he found brothers in the church that were really there for him, that he felt like he could confide in.
Right.
You know, he found healing emotionally from growing up in a rough area. Like, his life just changed. And yesterday was his third spiritual birthday. Was 3 years since he was baptized. And cool just to be texting with him yesterday, and he was like, you remembered. I was like, I remember, man. And he was super encouraged, and we're going to be catching up this Tuesday. But guys, that's what we get to be a part of.
Amen. Yeah.
Complete healing, yeah. Right? We get to tell people, hey, I don't have everything maybe that you're looking for, but really, what I do have, I'm going to give you. Yeah. And it's Jesus. It's discipleship. It's the love of the church.
Yeah.
And people's lives change, guys.
Yeah.
That's what God wants us to be a part of, this complete healing. But the question becomes, how do we find spiritual healing? Right? How do we find, oh, by the way, here's some pictures of his baptism. This is a picture of us all together. There's Robin there. Just a really encouraging moment. But again, what leads to healing, right? How do we get to this place where we find healing? Repentance. Repentance leads to healing.
Okay.
If you went to the doctor and they said, hey, you got a disease, they're going to tell you to change some things in your lifestyle to get better. Right? The doctor is not just going to tell you how sick you are and then say, have a great day. You know? They might prescribe some medications to you. They might say, hey, you might want to start exercising, right? You might want to start making changes so that you can get better.
Yeah.
Right? You know, people view Christianity as like, oh, you got all these rules, they're just going to ruin my life. No, no. Jesus has teachings that will save our life. Right? Yeah. Jesus is a doctor, a spiritual doctor. He's like, hey, I don't think it's a bad idea to say love your neighbor, because it seems like you not loving your neighbor is really hurting your relationships, right? Yeah. So here's my prescription. Love your neighbor. Yeah. Change. Yeah. Repent. Be patient, and maybe you'll find healing in that, right? But what stops us from healing? Our sin, guys.
Yeah.
What does it say in verse 19? Repent then, and turn to God, right? This is Peter speaking to them. Why? So that your sins may be wiped out, and not just that, but that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. God doesn't want to just be a sin subtractor. He wants to refresh your life,
yeah.
Right? He wants to give you a new life. He wants to heal you. But guys, our sin destroys. It destroys this world. Sin destroys while Jesus heals. Right? So we need to turn to God. We need to turn away from the very sins in our life that are causing us the opposite of healing. They're actually causing us suffering. Amen?
Amen.
And to be clear, Jesus isn't saying that he's going to remove all your suffering. As Christians, we will live a life of suffering, right? We will go through hardships. We will go through hard times. But our suffering shouldn't be because of unrepentant sin,
yeah.
Right? We shouldn't inflict pain on our lives when Jesus told us to repent of that sin, right? And so repentance, when we turn away from this disease of sin, when we let people into our life to help us see our sin, then we find healing. A lot of us want healing before we want repentance.
Yeah.
A lot of us want to get better before we actually humble ourselves and let people help us see our sin.
Yeah.
But Jesus is saying, hey, he's saying unapologetically, there's no other way. You're going to have to repent. That's the message in the gospel. Repent because the kingdom of God is here. Repent because there's something way better than the life you're living in your sin.
Yeah.
But you have to change. You have to listen to Jesus. What sin do you need to repent of to find healing? Whether you're a disciple or not. What is the sin in your life? Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's some form of selfishness, greed. Right, guys? Man, greed kills. The more we're just wanting more money, if we're chasing that, guys, it's an empty cistern. You're only going to want more and more. Is it greed? Is it money? Is it envy? You're envious of what other people have. Jealousy. Maybe it's your pride. Maybe it's just thinking like, I'm good. I've been a Christian for 3-4 years. I feel like I'm pretty good. You know, I don't need discipling as much now, right? Or maybe you're here and you feel like, you know what? I know I'm new here. I know I'm just checking this out. But I think I'm all right, right? Maybe we get comfortable. But Jesus is saying, no, don't get comfortable. Stay humble, right? Humble yourself. Don't let your pride stop you from finding healing. Yeah. Stop you from finding a closer relationship with God. And so when we turn away from these sins, and again, I don't know what it is for you, but guys, you've got to identify the sin in your life. We have to. Because if we're not repenting of our sin as disciples of Jesus, we can't help other people really change their life, right? We can't set the example. And God is going to use us. God uses broken people. But if we're not obeying Him and going after repentance, then He's just not going to bless us if we're not actually repenting ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
To close out, I want to just go back to this lame beggar real quick and try to relate in another way to him. And we'll have a time of communion here. But you know, maybe you're here today and you know, you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, you know, that all makes sense, Mark. That's great. You know, I agree with all of it. I agree with 95% of it. You know, I don't know what you're feeling. All right? But maybe you're here today and you feel far from God. Christian or not, maybe you just feel distant from God. Maybe you can relate to this beggar that was so close to the temple, that was so close to the presence of God, yet felt so far, yet felt so distant, like such an outsider. You know, maybe you relate to this beggar and you can feel like, I just don't know. I just don't feel close to Him. Well, I want to encourage you today, guys, that God is not far from you. Amen?
Yeah.
God is not far from you. Just like this lame beggar was steps away from walking into the temple and finding healing, you're just a couple decisions away from being closer to Jesus. Amen? He's right there. You know, we love the scripture in Acts 17. Oh, I thought it was there. Guess not.
All good.
I was tired last night making these slides. But Acts 17, verse 27 says, God did this so that they would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from any one of us.
Yeah.
Guys, that's the truth of Scripture. God is not far from you.
Yeah.
So if you're not a disciple and you feel like, I just feel like there's such a distance, He's right there. But you have to go after Him, right? You have to, just like this beggar let Peter and John help him, you got to let people help you.
Yeah.
You got to let people take you up by the hand and say, I want to give you something better.
Yeah.
God is close.
That's blessing.
You know, as we go into our time of communion here, we need to reflect on this, right? And you know, Peter even preaches about Jesus' suffering in this passage, but that Jesus' suffering makes our healing possible. Amen. You know, Acts 3, verse 13, what does he say? It says, you handed Him over to be killed. And guys, although we weren't there on the day that Jesus died, the same sin that we committed in our lives, we handed Him over. We handed Jesus over to be killed. That's what our sin cries out. And just how Peter says, you disown the holy and righteous one, we did that too, guys. We disown God by the sin we've done in our life. And verse 15, this one always hits me. You killed the author of life. I mean, talk about a gut check to what our sin has done. You killed the author of life. But guess what? Jesus, He knew that you were going to sin. Jesus knew that you were going to mess up, right? Jesus knew even the sins that you're going to commit this week. God's outside of time, and He's like, I know you're going to mess up. I died for you way before I knew you were going to mess up. You know, some of us feel like God died for the perfect version of ourselves, right? That Jesus died for the version of ourselves that totally repented and got their act together and became better. Jesus died for you in your worst moment, right? Where you felt like, I got nothing good going for me. I feel distant from God. Jesus isn't waiting. He wasn't waiting for some better version of you. He died for you, period, right? And he's saying, you know what? I'm going to give them a second chance. I'm going to suffer for them so that they don't have to suffer because of their sin. Right? He's saying, I want to give them healing. And the only way is through what Jesus did on the cross. That from the cross, we can find repentance, right? Repentance which leads to healing and a new life. And so at this time, we're going to take communion. You can raise your hand if you don't have a communion cup. And we'll get those handed out to you guys. And I want to just take this time right now, as we do every Sunday, to really reflect on the very suffering that has brought us healing. Amen?
Amen.
And after this, after we take some time to meditate here, we'll close out in one final song. But I'm going to pray for communion right now. Father God, thank you so much, Lord, that you, in some way, because you're God, you're able to look past our sin. You're able to look past the brokenness, the selfishness, the sin in our life. And you look us and you look us in the eye, God, just like Peter. And you want to help us. You want to help us up from the depths of our sin, God. You want to give us healing. You want to give us a new life. And so, Father, as we take time to commune, as we take time to think about your death, help us to really remember, God, that if it wasn't for your suffering, that we would have no chance for healing. We would have no chance to have complete healing in our lives, a new life in Christ. We love you. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.